Hosted by Todd Donald and friends, Todd's Cafe is a podcast shamelessly reaching for catharsis via comedy, compassion, and interaction. It's just what everybody's doing. It's just what everybody does. Everybody. Until there's no one left to ruin. It's just what everybody does.
Hello out there. I'm Todd Donald, and you're listening to Todd's Cafe. Forget whatever I was. This is take two, and I was saying stuff, and just forget it. I'm a nerd. I grew up as a social outsider, and also socially awkward as fuck.
Yeah,
and that's sort of where I get a lot of the interesting alternate ways of looking at humanity, as if not a part of it.
Yeah, I get it.
And my guest is another podcaster, Gavin Stevens.
Hey, how are you doing? So I'm talking to me too, yes. Right? Okay, so yeah, okay. how am I doing? How are you guys doing? Yeah, I'm like you. I've been an outsider, and I'm just like, when I go into my podcast, I'm like that in real life. Like my friends will tell me that sometimes I'll have half my conversation in my head. And then I'll bring them in like halfway through that conversation. Yeah. And you're like, you got to put me up to bring me up to speed. So I'm like you. I'm like, I assume everyone's up to speed. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I might overexert myself when I message, and you're like, I'll say a bunch of stuff, and like, I don't know you, but I'll win you over with my wit. And then you're like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm looking forward to see it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to like, you're being cool.
Yeah.
When you're messaging me back on Instagram, but I'm just like, can I put on a show? Do people need this? They're not asking for it. They don't want it.
I thought you were being cool too. Okay. Like, I thought, yeah, I didn't. I'm very low key in general.
Yeah.
But it's also awkwardness, and it's also like social anxiety. I have a degree of social anxiety.
Right.
So yeah, but I have I'm low key is probably it's not a defense mechanism, but it is like I don't know if I'm dead inside. I wouldn't say dead, because that's, I would say I'm more like, okay, let's see how things. I'm 43, right. So I'm used to things falling apart or being disappointing. So I wait till things happen. Right. I wait till I'm in the thing, so I don't. That's just me.
Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed that, man. I was gonna guess that you were closer to my age. We're 10 years apart.
Oh, okay.
I was gonna guess that that we're around the same. But so there's a cool thing right here where you actually would fall into what they call Generation X.
Yes, I am Generation X.
Let's come back to that.
You're a millennial. I'm Generation X.
I guess so. The old people called you Generation X.
Yeah.
And then they were calling me Generation Y for a while.
For a while.
And then they just lumped us in with all the fucking kids that were born into the internet. Whereas the internet didn't come about till I was almost an adult.
Yeah.
It wasn't as mainstream, and only us outsiders and nerds were on the internet.
Yes.
Writing blogs. But we were creating things before we thought we should just push it out there,
yeah,
and force everyone to see it. We were creating things knowing that we may never be seen. It was, and we were like the last to do that. And then I saw people younger than me. They're just like, I'm starting a business.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's equally as chance encountering as everyone else. Well, so you're Dodge. No, but like, we're on the internet, and Dodge is on the internet.
So we're the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exactly. Yeah. That's I don't know what generation that is, but there's a younger generation that has that mentality. I don't even think they're bad. It's a bad mentality in a way. But they do have that kind of. I also find that generation, the young, like my nephew's 23. They're less technically sound as my generation was, because my generation, we built the internet, and we gave you video games and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Not that I'm like, we're great. But we were the first generation of adolescence, like adult adolescence. Like, we were, right. And it's just been that. Yeah. It's just been, like, I'm writing a joke. I do stand up, and I'm writing a joke about how, like, businesses now, if you work in in an office and you're a millennial, it's a millennial, like a tech office, there's like a slide or there's like a juice bar. There's something that keeps, it's got to be fun. Where when I came up, it's like, no, it's a job. It sucks. Suck it up and do it. And I don't know which one's better or worse. I'm just saying that's the difference.
They're really good at making it fun.
Yes.
And I make the mistake of like looking at my feed and being like, hey, you know, we have a festival happening in our lobby.
Yeah.
But it's only for people who are networking. So you're not invited, but look what you're missing out on.
Well, I worked in factories for when I did have a day job. I worked in a lot of factories. We didn't that culture does not it's not right for fun. It's not a good place. Nobody wants fun there. Everyone's upset. They hate the boss.
Yeah.
You couldn't put a slide in a factory. No one's taking that. It's old ladies and old men and like exactly. So it's that, I don't know. There's that, but those jobs are leaving, and this is the millennials are getting like shittier jobs with, you know, debt, and they have to invent careers, right? This is they have to create a whole bunch of careers. So why not have fun while they're doing it? I guess that's the mentality of, you know, hey, you know what? Let's I don't know, if we're gonna work at a call center, we might as well have a ping pong table in here. You know what I mean? Like, so I you know, it's dealing with their depression, but they're not having kids. They're less likely to have kids now, and you know, it's prolonged adolescence.
For me to have had a complaining tone about any of that, it comes from admiration.
Yeah,
and that's me being defensive for sure.
Yeah,
but there, I will just admit, where some people might not be as self aware or self actualized to be like, yeah, I admire the place that they're in. The place that they're, the things that they also have to deal with that are just in the system that they're not aware of yet.
But there's also like, you're not completely wrong to shit on them, right? Because there's also this like where they'll play video games for 3 days and their life is falling to shit. Right. There's a lot of that where you know, the rise of someone like Jordan Peterson is because of this. Like Jordan Peterson, when I was growing up, was Deepak Chopra. It's just, clean your room, straighten your back up, and do, you know, it's obvious self-help stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like these kids are like, oh my God, it's genius. because they're not used to that. They're not used to someone going, hey, you know what? You got to show up to work. Not all of them. I'm just saying that's also a thing in their generation where it's just like, you don't know how things are, do you? You don't know how, like, you got to fight through shit, and shit is not easy, and they don't understand that. There's an entitlement to a lot of them that I think every generation has, but they also have to deal with, you know, debt and it's harder to buy a house, and they're coming out of school with no. So I mean, they're good. It's good and bad. This generation has got both sides of it. It's like, some of it's their fault and some of it isn't. So, and they're a protesting generation, which I like. I like how they're standing up for stuff. So
yeah, and that's exactly where I used to find that the internet was becoming this horrible thing that became too cool. Well, it's had the power to have certain movements come about within it, doing things that no social media wasn't or hadn't yet accomplished. Yeah. And I don't know for sure if that's really true or not. Because I'm not very smart, and the fact is, like,
welcome to the club.
But it did accomplish something. Certain hashtags, got in the media, the mainstream consciousness, and has made changes. And you know, those of us who live in our bubble with our factory job and our podcast, we don't necessarily know.
Well, I think I know where you're kind of going. Like, I read this book by Angela Nagel called Kill All Normies. Have you ever read that book?
No.
It was about the rise of the alt-right and that whole culture. It came out of Gamer. Do you know Gamergate?
No.
These are all things that are like, the internet is like, okay, so Gamergate was this thing. Okay, so it goes back to Tumblr culture and the call-out culture and all that stuff. And there was a 4chan started this whole, well, people on 4chan were like kind of anti that. So they were like, everything was nihilistic and everything was just like the opposite of calling out and like, oh, you can't, this person, whatever, SJWs.
Yeah.
So what happened was, there was a moment where video game journalism, apparently there was this movement that happened a woman that developed a video game was dating a game journalist, and they broke up, and the game journalist listed all the stuff that she did or whatever. And everyone was mad about how there was no ethics in game journalism, but it was all blown out of proportion. Everything was overhyped. And then a fringe tiny little group of Nazis and stuff just kind of infiltrated their way into that group of 4chan stuff, and then just started spiraling this stuff. And then next thing you know, Donald Trump is getting elected president. It's like it was just this internet culture, their generation, these are first time voters, right? This is the first time they vote. They turn 18 and they vote. Had just created this whole thing. And then we had Donald Trump. It's like this, you can see the direct correlation to it. It's amazing how.
So the internet sort of helped.
That generation.
Revive.
Creating
crazy
a movement.
Racism.
Right. But it wasn't even just reviving crazy racism. It was crazy racism.
I mean, a crazy amount of.
You're right. But it latched onto this idea of a culture that was against another culture.
Right.
And the culture just kind of built up. And it also is part of this movement of young men who feel displaced or there's no jobs. And, they just feel like they're like what they were owed or what they felt their parents had, they can't have. There's like a loss. And then you got incels and all this stuff. And this whole culture kind of just the pickup artist culture and all of it just came together into this fine whatever brew, I guess, is the best way to put it. And that's what we're dealing with now is like. Yeah. That's what I was talking about with Jordan Peterson is this, there's an anger from that.
Right.
But what the problem is that the alt-right, a lot of the people that the Nazis and stuff, there's not many of them, but they latched on. The arguments and the ideals of a lot of it is just a hop, skip, and a jump to Nazism. That's the problem. Right. Not that the people who are angry about stuff are Nazis, but they're more sympathetic to it because it's counter to the opposite,
right?
Which was, it was like, oh, know the right pronouns. And not that there's anything wrong with that. You should know people's, if people want to be called a certain thing, call them a certain thing.
Yeah.
But it was this counter thing of all bets are off. We don't care. And we're nihilists. We're completely the opposite. Nietzsche and all that shit. Yeah.
I haven't given you a proper introduction.
Okay,
this is going to be like the dumbest thing a podcast's ever done. Let's cut in the middle and finally introduce you, Gavin Stevens. I just wanted to mention I found you on a post by the Watchtower.
We did a show
So I was like, I got excited to be like, let's do this. I want to reach out to a stand-up comedian. I haven't had like an actual stand-up on the show before.
Yeah.
And then on your profile, I saw that like me, you're also a comic nerd.
Yeah.
And so, I felt connections. Like, this date's going to go well, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Then you really won me over when you also had a podcast. Like, okay, I love comedy. You actually do comedy. We both like comic books. Yeah. And we're both podcasters. And then it might end there because I'm not – you seem really cool and I'm not cool. but you also feel the same way about yourself.
No, it's like it's cool is all relative, right? Like, I'm not cool at all. I'm not the cool comic. I'm like in the scene, I'm a cool guy. There's cool comics and but I'm very proud of that. Like I enjoy being not cool because I'm not.
There's strength in that.
And yeah, there is strength in that.
Not doesn't have to be anger.
No.
There's strength and ultimate positivity and self-actualization that comes from being an outsider if it's not reinforced by negative people. And that's when I feel like, not having as much stuff as your dad or not getting laid as much. That was never a culture. I was alone in that, but I had friends who were like, I had female friends because like I every now and then I snap into like a non-binary way of thinking about my gender, and I had these female friends when I was younger that said like, hey man, get over it.
Yeah.
No, you're fine. You're actually fine at a very impressionable age.
Yeah.
So any misogyny that I had growing up was just from the movies. You throw like a girl, bitches be tripping.
Yeah. And it's all, capitalism. It's all marketing. Yeah. It's just, and nerds have become that some way. But like I watch a lot of videos. Peter Coffin, he does a lot of great videos on YouTube. And one of his, he was talking about nerds and the idea of consumer culture and building an identity around that. I've gotten past that point. Like, we talk about comic books and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, I think we're at that level. Like, when I was huge into nerd, like, when I, as an adult, like, it was like, yes, take it back. There was a thing where it's like, you couldn't be a nerd. Like, it was just, wasn't. I grew up in that where, like, I wasn't allowed to play Dungeons and Dragons because my parents thought, it was Satan worshiping.
Yeah.
So I had to hide it. Like, I snuck it in my house. It was all that stuff. Or nerds are shitty or whatever. We weren't good.
Or you got beaten up.
Yeah, we got beaten up. Yeah, you got, because you just thought differently. Like, you just, I've never been into cars. I've never been into, like, you ever been, and you work in a factory, so you know what I'm talking about. When someone starts talking to you about something, you're like, no.
Oh, yeah. World Cup, eh? Yeah.
Just is like,
it, that's, you get the bat and the hockey net. Yeah, cool.
And now that's happening to nerds. Like, nerds are now becoming like, all right, now you got to become more of an individual because there's like nerds who are like, all right, I'm going to test you how much you know about X-Men, or I'm going to, how much you know about, whatever. And you're like, come on, dude, I just want to enjoy my stuff.
Yeah, like, we don't you hold me accountable for being smart.
Yeah. I remember hearing a lot of women talk about that, like going to cons and stuff, and just like, I used to go to tons of cons, and I just went for what's the name of that flea market I just came from?
St. Jacobs.
Yes, and it's just exactly the same thing.
Yeah, Tri-City Supercon they have.
Oh, is it good?
It's in October. I just heard about it. The first con I ever went to was just this year. It was at Kitchener City Hall.
Oh, see.
And I met PJ Phil.
Oh, PJ Phil's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
If you're just going to cons, it's awesome.
Yeah.
But I was like, I would do the Montreal con every year, and I would do a show out there. I do shows at the Communist. I would do the Fan Expo. I was involved with that and doing shows there. And then I just got to a point where I'm like, I'm just sick of cons. Because it's just shopping, or there's people you want to see. I don't know if you're fans of seeing people.
Not sycophantic, but if I just really admire someone's work, there's like a sycophantic behavior that excitement that comes from like meeting a person who I admire.
Yeah,
or really.
No, I mean, like, do you like going to like the panels and stuff like that? Do you enjoy that?
Oh, I don't think I would now, unless I was like. Unless I had like a ticket that I would be guaranteed to ask a question.
Yeah.
Because I feel bad for saying this, but because they put it online now.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be there. I'm a huge Dan Harmon fan. So anything that he does, and I've almost listened to 2 years of Harmontown, the first ones.
Yeah.
And then he'll put, he did a convention for Community.
Oh,
and
really?
Just put them all online. Communicon.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
And there's Rick and Morty at Comic-Con panels and all kinds of stuff, and you can just go find them on YouTube.
Here's my point about postmodernism. I cut you off, and I'm sorry that I did that. But like, Rick and Morty was the example of where we're moving to. And Rick and Morty fans are terrible, and I love Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
But those fans are horrible. But Rick and Morty is such a genius show because it does postmodernism and post-postmodernism. It does the cynicism, but like in the same... Like, he'll take a joke a little bit further. This is the wisecrack video. He'll take the joke a little bit farther and become very real and very honest. And that's where I think we're at with our entertainment. Yeah. Whereas, like, South Park or whatever was very postmodernism, very, like, just everything wasn't taken seriously. Or Family Guy, perfect example of a cartoon that doesn't take anything seriously or breaks everything down. And Rick and Morty is that genius cartoon that does both in it. And it's that, the wisecrack video. That's not me. That's wisecrack. Yeah. So yeah,
it's a meta show, and I love that.
It's a great show, but it's also like it's about psychology, and it's about like family, and it's about abuse, and it's about it's also that side of it too. Which
it depends on where your brain is, because you can be like, you know, Pickle Rick.
Yeah.
You think it's just an action with sidebar family stuff.
Yeah.
Or it's, you know, they said in an interview, like, him becoming a pickle is a metaphor for alcoholism.
Yes. It's also him avoiding dealing with his family and dealing with his problems. Like, he became a pickle. It's hilarious, but it's avoiding, like, the psychiatrist said in the episode, where it's just like, you're avoiding, like, he's a toxic human being.
Yeah.
He's just, he's not the hero of the show.
Yeah.
But everyone loves him, right? Like but he's not the hero.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's such a great show.
It's funny because like we're going from we're traveling through time in this very interview to different parts of the conversation, but it all connects with something.
Yeah.
Which is amazing because if you can pick up on this, like this isn't actually a disjointed interview. It's like a Tarantino film kind of fucking, it's really neat. I love what's happening here. So on one of the Harmontowns that I listened to, like I'm listening to the ones that are going up online like now so I can hear what's going on with them in real time. But I started at the beginning, summer 2012. That's when he started it. That's when the Chevy Chase thing went down and he got fired from Community. And you sort of hear all these conversations and shows that they're doing as he gets rehired on Community and Rick and Morty takes off.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're talking about their personal lives and also talking about all kinds of issues. Bravely and boldly, with his pants off. Let's talk about racism. Let's talk about
sexism. He changed somewhere. Like, I have always liked Dan Harmon. I like Scud the Disposable Assassin.
Rob Schraub.
I love him. But he changed somewhere because I listened to his podcast. I got to listen to Harmontown again. I stopped listening. Right. It was on and off. I have a lot of podcasts I listen to.
Right.
So it's hard to squeeze in. But I was listening. I'm listening to
Writing Wongs.
Yes. And he doing that podcast, there's something that opened his brain.
Yeah.
To seeing other people outside of himself.
Well, look who's on the stage with him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Other close to his age white people.
Yes.
And he's on this show with an Asian woman.
Yes.
And they'll talk about the Matt Groening. The Apu thing.
Yes, I listened to that one. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not losing who he is,
yeah.
But he's gaining something. And I admire that he like he sounds like he's like a horrible person. I'm not finishing this thought, but he sounds like he's like a human. Like he's horrible but good but flawed. And he's like you said, he's just like it's out there.
Yeah.
Like he sounds very difficult to deal with, difficult to work with if you're not in the right headspace that he's in.
Right.
But that's also what makes him amazing. I think listening to him in this podcast, the podcast Writing Wongs is I can see where Rick and Morty comes from. Like I can see, like, I know it's not just him, but I can see that your brain is good, man. You gotta like you challenge yourself as well as challenge the world.
Yeah.
But you challenge yourself.
And he, as an example on the stage in front of people going through this thing every time he does it.
Yeah.
Being like, look at how ignorant I am. Yeah. I'm trying to figure it out. And good can come of
that.
Approaching yourself that way.
Yeah.
So when people see that might, there's always a chance. I can't speak for them. I don't follow up.
Yeah.
But I think it's beautiful to see. And it allows me to explore more of our language that I've never heard before. And that's something that they were talking about in 2014 that's very much now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's Trudeau, pronouns, this and that. And it's like, okay, the question is, where does it end?
Yes.
Okay. And what is humanity like when we've erased all the words that could possibly offend people? And Jeff Davis asserts, our English language is a zillion times larger than the one that people today use. There are words for everything.
Yeah. And words have been dumped, right? Like words have been dumped a long time ago because they're not useful anymore.
And
But
like there are all of these words that exist for every one thing that you could put a word to. And yet people use, you know, amazeballs to mean 20 different things.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you know, there's a purpose to having people not be hurt or offended. The goal is a good one. I think it's better that people live out their lives and don't want to kill themselves. And yet it's not a total loss. We might lose an offensive word.
Mm-hmm.
We might get rid of the word faggot, and I really hope we do.
Yeah.
Somehow. I don't know. Our mouths can still make those sounds.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's 20 more ways to say duty.
Well, and like if you look at faggot didn't mean faggot, like originally.
Right.
And then it's changed in England, faggot means something else. And I'm not saying, I'm just saying it's like words change. Like this is not an end of civilization. things change. Exactly. We're growing.
Comedy's also evolved. You're a comedian.
Exactly. It's also for me. I'm like, say whatever you want. People are like, oh, what can't I? Like, I always get a guy. I always have some dude who get mad at me. It's always a white dude who gets mad at me online and accuses me of being racist or hate white people. And it's like, no, I'm just being me. I'm not calling out white people or hating on white people. I'm like, oh, I'll talk about racism. I'll talk about my own life or situations. They did a White Guys Matter show in Toronto at Yuck Yucks.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it is. But like, I know a lot of those guys. And I'm like, well, I don't think they're racist. Like, I know them. I don't think they are. But I think it's horrible taste. I think it's stupid.
Do you think they're trying to be ironic?
They're trying to get attention, which is even worse. But I always tell people, I remember doing a podcast and someone's like, well, what if I do, why is blackface bad? And I'm like, go do blackface. I have no problem. But that doesn't mean I can't look at you as a racist.
Yeah.
Like you're free to have your ideas. Like we were talking about freedom of speech and neo-Nazis, and I'm like, he was like, oh, it's the marketplace of ideas and that we should all, every idea. And I'm like, but we already heard the Nazis' ideas.
Yeah.
We heard them in the 40s and we decided it wasn't a good idea. So we don't need to hear them now. And they're like, no, we need to. And I'm like, the marketplace of ideas isn't about the best or good or right. It's about it's about attention. So Donald Trump gets elected because it's not about good or bad. Those things are arbitrary. You're talking about a marketplace. You shouldn't put a marketplace on ideas because that's just dumb. They're ideas.
Right.
It's about attention. Who gets the most attention? And that's what Nazis do. They figure out a way to get the most attention. They're sneaky. They don't play by the rules. But I'm like, say whatever you want. That's what I'm for. But don't control my freedom of speech to think that if you want to say the N-word, then I can think that you're a horrible person. Don't be mad at me for. Oh, you can be mad. You're absolutely. But
yeah,
you. That's what I find most freedom of speech people want to do. They want to control that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They want to control the reaction. But that's my freedom of speech to think that you're a thing. That I have the right for that.
Well, whether you're just a person, girl or guy, and you do something that garners attention,
mm-hmm.
whether it's creating a social media account,
yeah.
or becoming a celebrity,
mm-hmm.
You know, if something is going to get attention,
yeah.
you are not accountable nor in control of what the response is.
Exactly.
So I find like it's pretty obvious that the people who get really fucked up the longer they go on with the attention getting exercise are the people who care.
Yes.
What the response is.
Yeah.
You could be a good person. You could be a shitty person. If someone's going to respond to you, you're not in control of that.
Yep.
And you have to accept that that's going to happen.
Yeah, because they could interpret whatever you say any way they want. You're absolutely right. Like, it's one of the biggest things about the internet is like, yeah, don't feed the trolls, as they say.
Yeah.
Just ignore it. And I've had it. I had it recently. I had a guy who came out. I've said in the podcast, I don't want to talk about these people, but yes. And it's always this. What I find is always the same ones. So they always come at the same way, but you're right. It's just like you're not responsible for it, and you can't control it. So you can't care about it because you will lose your mind.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Adopt them?
Yeah. Take them in. Like, are you trying to be their best friends? Really? What is the purpose of like if someone says some shitty about your podcast or says something shitty about you online? Yeah. What is your purpose of arguing with them? All you're doing, really. And I always think about this. Anytime I see a bad idea, I'm like, should I or shouldn't I? Shouldn't I or shouldn't I? Because it's my ego. That's it.
Yeah.
All I'm dealing is with my ego. Yeah. They're not going to see my side of it. They're not going to think anything. I'm not trying to change their opinion because they can't change it. It's just me and my ego and like reinforcing my idea.
Right.
So, you know, I make decisions based on that. Do I need this for myself? And then I think about how long this headache's going to be of dealing with someone like for 3 hours on Facebook going blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I got to walk away from this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So usually what I'll take is people, especially like I've taken a lot of people's arguments. Facebook has been great for my stand-up in terms of those arguments. Those debates have been great for my stand-up. I've taken those debates and put them in. Yeah,
your podcast is called Master Race Debaters. Yes, yeah. I really, It sounds like masturbate is kind of.
It is, but it's debate. So yeah, I guess B-A-I-T-E-R-S. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. See,
I never think that I'm absolutely correct about anything. So yeah. I would never get into a debate. But I'm happy to talk about anything.
Oh, I don't. That's my fear. I'm unsure about myself. But if I see a shitty argument, so it was a dude from a comic who was like saying how. He was equating, I also like try to study up on debating and studying up on ideas, and I read a lot and I try to like, I'll know my shit. If I'm going to, I'll try to know both sides of anything. And his argument was that because they were talking about terrorists and brown terrorists, they're saying that white terrorists represent a certain amount, a percentage, and brown terrorists in the United States represent another a certain percent of the demographic, but there's less brown people than white people. So they extrapolated that if there was more brown people, the percentage of brown terrorists would be this much. And I'm like, well, that's a fallacy.
Right.
That you can't say that because that doesn't exist. You can't go, well, it's this amount of people and they do this much damage. Therefore, right. If it was this amount of people, but then you're just assuming that there's so many things. It's cause and effect. You're assuming that. The reason why they're terrorists is because they're brown, or and it's the it's like you can't. So I'll get into debates like that where it's like you don't know what you're talking about. There's a fallacy in all what you're saying. Yeah. I'm pretty confident on that stuff, but most of the time I'm on Facebook. You're not debating rocket science. You're not debating like geniuses. You're not debating people who are like it. You're usually debating people who are knee jerk and upset, and you're like, hey, calm the fuck down. Let's look at this, and then. Either they go, oh, or you're wrong, or they continue and just be mad at you.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. There's like a culture now of people who look at facts that degrade a president they like as fake.
Yeah. Yes.
So if the verdict comes back, as I was listening to on different podcasts, like, what do you think is going to happen? Well, The verdict could come back that he's guilty and going to get impeached, but the reaction would be, that's fake.
Yeah.
So what a world.
It's cognitive bias. I just read a study about those people that say fake news. A lot of them know it. Apparently a large percentage of them that know it's not fake news. They just don't like the news.
Yeah.
They don't like the information that's being brought to them, so they just say fake news.
I didn't like the news in November 2016.
Yeah, nobody likes. Yeah, it's called reality. But that's what we live in. We live in cognitive dissonance. We live in a place where nobody can take reality for what it is. That's like on the argument with a guy. I'm like, every idea is great. Every idea is on the same level. Like, hey, let's, like, eugenics is now a thing again. Like, people are like, Charles Murray, the guy that wrote The Bell Curve, he wrote a book about like the intelligence of black people and all that stuff. Like, it's all eugenics. And it's like, it's been debunked years ago.
Right.
But it's back. And people are just like, well, let's talk about it. I had this argument about the guy with neo-Nazis, and he's like, well, no, we should listen to all these ideas and make them equal, and like, and then bad ideas will, and I'm like, well, it doesn't affect you to hear it. Like, the Nazis aren't coming after you, and he's like, I'm a redhead, so this is like ideal. But it's like, we've debated this idea, and the idea is done, and we don't need ideas, bad ideas to catch it. We don't need to keep bringing back bad ideas. Let's move on to good ideas. Yeah. Let's move on past, you know. Let's all decide that climate change is happening. Let's move on with that. Like, why are we dragging up bad ideas and keep debating bad ideas? That's not freedom of speech. That's just horse shit. We need to move forward.
Yeah.
Climate change is the thing that scares me. It's like, that scares the shit out of me because people are debating whether that's where we're at. We're debating whether it's real or not.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear what you're saying. I was creating a sweaty ass print on the chair.
I'm doing one in my back. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, we need to move forward and not like, who are these flat earthers? We don't need flat earthers. I don't have time. Just, you're done.
Put that time and attention to building a rocket.
Do your own thing, but let's get on with the public discourse of what do we need to do with climate?
Yeah.
Like, to debate whether racism exists. I can't, the statistics show it does, or the wage gap. This, we just had a, Stats Can said, yes, there is a wage gap for women. Let's deal with that. Like, these are things that are factual and provable. And I debated with a dude about the wage gap, and I'm like, well, these are facts. He's like, well, it's a left-wing think tank. I'm like, it's Stats Can. That's not a left-wing think tank. That's statistics based on companies and everything. That's not...
I feel like most of their retorts always start off with, fake news.
It's fake news. Yeah. It's fake news, or you're biased. It's like, well, no, it's not bias. It's just, you know, this is the information.
Yeah.
And you can look it up and you can debate. Just look it up. I don't know. I think it's great that everybody wants to be intellectual. I think that's kind of good, but it's also like, I just want to move forward with, like, Roe v. Wade that they want to overthrow in the States. It's like, can we just move on and just agree that some people, if they want to get an abortion, let them have an abortion? Like, if can we just move past these debates?
Yeah.
Okay, like, climate change is one of the things that bothers me. Like, can we just move past it and deal with it, like, and just start dealing with it? But we're not, because we're, you know, it's a marketplace of ideas.
Yeah,
we got to debate everything. Sorry, I know I'm a comedian. It just sounds so dire and depressing.
Well, do you feel like having these conversations or doing the podcast or other forms? Well, I don't see why the stage work with the comedy isn't this as well. But do you find it therapeutic?
Absolutely. Even comedy. It's all, because comedy is my stand-up's very much opinion stuff. I'm a very opinionated person. I don't think I'm right. I don't think truth is about right. I think truth is about what you think is true.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not
adamant. You don't even exist. You only exist because you exist in my brain.
Right. Exactly.
And I'm kidding.
But I'm like you. The podcast is very therapeutic.
Yeah.
It's very like, oh, I'm talking to other people, white people and black people. I get a lot of white people who like think I didn't know this, and I'm learning a lot from your podcast, which is awesome. And it's just, there's a lot of stuff moving from Toronto to Hamilton, where I was like, there was a bubble in Toronto,
right,
where I didn't see. And then moving to Hamilton, you see a lot of things. You're more of a minority. I'm more of a minority in Hamilton than I am in Toronto.
Well, like I said, I grew up there.
Yeah, yeah.
It seemed like the angriest, most curmudgeon-y. It's like, hey, there's a black person moved into the city? Yeah, what are you talking about? Keep it tiny down there.
I know how
Let them know they're not welcome.
I like how they know the one black person moved into the entire city.
Yeah.
They all felt it. They felt the tremor in the force. And they're like, oh. Yeah, Hamilton's. They're good people. They're not bad people, but they're also. Yeah,
they don't like change. They don't like.
It's very new. It's very new. And it's like, it's getting more diverse, but it's very new.
Yeah.
And but they're not terrible people. It's just.
I love Hamiltonians too. Like, they're. Yeah. It's so much has changed, though, since I lived there.
Yes.
In good ways, culturally.
Well, how long ago did you live?
From 87 until 2000.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, it must be like a lot, because I moved in 2012, I think, around there. So it must be a lot, like that.
Yeah,
that you have, that's not the same.
Yeah,
but it is, like I've said on the podcast, it's number two for hate crimes in the country against black people, far distant from Thunder Bay. Thunder Bay is like way out in the lead of hate crimes,
right,
past everybody. But Hamilton's number two. That's where the podcast came out of that kind of thing. But yeah, it's I don't know. It is very therapeutic. It is to talk. I talk to people from London, my friend from Ottawa, and it's just like, what's it like? Because Ottawa's, it's a city, but it's also a small town. Like, Hamilton's a city, but it's a small town. And talking
compared to,
him
to
and,
Toronto,
compared to Toronto, and like talking to these people about their experiences in that, it's just like, oh, it's interesting. So it very much, it's number one therapy for me,
right.
And then number two, it kind of helps other people out. But that wasn't the goal. The goal was like, let me deal with some therapy on the air. Let me bitch a bit. And just.
Well, I don't find myself interesting, but I do want to communicate to you that something about me with one avenue of the podcast. I want to try to be as funny as I can be in the only platform that I might be funny.
Podcasting.
I can't be funny on stage.
Okay.
I can think of jokes, but I'm only like conversation funny, and even only when I am.
Yeah.
So like, you know, some people are like, you're funny at parties, go on stage. And I'm the person that would go, see, no, I don't work there.
Like that's not
they don't get me if I'm on a stage and they're expecting me to laugh. That's not where I make people laugh. So I'm getting way off course. I want to listen, and I want to give other people a chance to listen to people who aren't white.
Who aren't
men. Like telling their story or perspectives and stuff like that. And I'm not smart. That's a pause I'll leave in.
I'm not smart either. My thing is just like,
there's different kinds of smart. There's book smart.
I would never. But I think it's for me. It's just like, just other people's perspective. Like I can sit down, laugh my ass off at a white dude, and I can understand people's okay. This is my rambling, stammering. What I'm trying to get to is, I understand that not everything's for me, and doing the podcast has helped me understand that.
Right.
Like there's a comic, Esposito. I forget her first name, but her last name is Esposito. Carolyn Esposito. Anyway, I never got her. I didn't think she was funny. I never thought she was funny, but she's very popular in the States. But then someone's like, oh, because she speaks like to lesbians, like they get it. And I found her wife funny, but I didn't find her that funny. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. I think there was a time for me as a man, I would be like, it's not funny. Right. This is not funny. I just dismiss it. It's not for me. That's what I understand now. It's like, that's just not, I mean, there is unfunny. There is people who aren't funny, but if you have an audience and people think you're hilarious and you're touring all over and you're successful from it, and you know, you got a big number of people, who am I to say you're not funny? That's not like, you know, it's So I don't know. It's just looking at other people's perspectives. It's just looking at people's perspectives, like everybody. White, non-white, doesn't matter. Just look at people's and see where they're coming from.
Can I tell you something that might make you laugh? I caught myself, and it's one of those things that I won't allow to happen anymore. Mm. But the goofy anomaly, before I even say what it is and what happened, as it was happening, I was going like, I'm doing this really stupid thing right now. And after it happened, I'm like, well, I can't take that back.
Yeah.
I can't redo that. Yeah. So what happened was, if I was hanging out with a black friend,
I
recently picked up some new records. Yeah. And in those records was AC/DC, Peter Gabriel, and Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
And I made a point of celebrating, oh man, I got this new Stevie Wonder album.
I'm a good one.
Hey, I like black stuff. Can you give me some sort of reward,
dude, for
that? And I wouldn't say that. I wasn't thinking it.
Yeah, but it's...
But I heard myself say it.
Dude, that's the transgender thing, like, terrifies me. Like, but I know it's me. Like, it's not... It's knowing the pronouns. I don't want to fuck up pronouns. That's the thing that scares the fuck out of me. It scares the fuck out of me. I know a few transgender people, not tons. I should know more, but I know.
Well, there's nothing inclusive.
Right. That's the thing. I'm scared of fucking up, and I think a lot of people are scared of fucking up, and that's really what the essence of it, and being called a bigot. But that's my problem.
Yeah.
That's not their problem. So I got to figure this shit out.
Well, figure it out. That's a case I think where being intellectual or at least thinking on a level where you care enough.
Yeah.
Your fucking heart wants to do the right thing. We have very antiquated notions of what male is and what female is.
Exactly.
So, you know.
And it's brainwashing us.
Yeah.
It's like it's drilled into our heads.
What is male other than what grandpa said?
Well, that's the thing with perspective. It's like it goes back to, your perspective isn't right, nor is it wrong. It's just your perspective.
Yeah.
So what is grandpa? Like none of this, we were driving here. We make fun of it. We see these pickup trucks every once in a while, and it's clearly owned by a woman. And they have these like stickers like trucks, silly boys, trucks are for girls. And we laugh at it. It's like, really, you have to announce this shit. Like this is like, well, no one assumes that trucks are for, But I guess there are people that do assume that this is a male thing, and this
I meet men every day, and I'm sure you do too, that think trucks are for boys.
Trucks, and it's for like, sure. It's just a car.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's just a car. And it's, I guess.
I also like dolls with hair.
Yeah.
I wish my dolls had hair growing up.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. It's, there's no, to stamp that on someone nowadays. I think we're going to get to a point like, we were babysitting our friend's kid. He's like 4 and he's got his fingernails painted. Really, it's innocent. There's really nothing to it.
Yeah.
I know my dad would have been like, get that nail polished. My dad's not a bad dude. He's just old.
He's taut.
He's just taut. And he would have been like, don't put nail polish on his fingers. I don't think he'd make a scene about it, but it wouldn't have been a thing. But I think when that kid, 4-year-old, is like 20-something, it's going to be a completely different world.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be. And I think that's what a lot of people are scared of. I gotta roll out. But
I think we accomplished a lot of verbalizing of our thoughts, and they were recorded by microphones.
Fun.
And
this is very fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope I was thinking at the end of it, I'm like, oh, I'm not funny. I'm like, I'm so goddamn boring. And
I always regret not having any prepared wit for a show.
Dude, I enjoy what we're talking about and getting into it, and I'm passionate about it. But I'm like, if someone's listening and I'm a comedian, and it's like, I'm not a comedian at all. What the fuck kind of comedian?
Record some jokes as you think of them and then email them to me, and I'll make more editing work.
Completely out of context.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a dude, I was at an argument, this dude, and his attack was, you're a comedian. Let the educated people deal
with this. Oh, snap.
And because I know about debating, I'm like, oh, you're using the no true Scotsman fallacy. Like the fact that it's like that, you know, do you know that fallacy? It's like when old people go to a young person, oh, you're too young to understand this stuff. It's you're no true Scotsman. You don't understand.
Right.
So you couldn't possibly know what you're talking about.
It's called the dick move.
It's a dick move.
Yeah.
But like, I like debating with those people when they call me stupid with like technical stuff. So they go, and they just get frustrated. They can't say anything and they back off. When you use technical, when you use like people get very intimidated, especially when they're assholes. They get very intimidated.
All right. So I had a great time chatting with Gavin.
Oh, sorry, but sorry, dude.
No, it's... That's awesome that happened. Thanks for listening to Todd's Cafe. You can listen to Master Race Debaters, which is also on iTunes. I'm sure it's on Spotify.
Like all that. Too. Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And what's the... people want to follow you on Facebook and Instagram?
It's MRD Podcast. All of them are MRD Podcast. On Facebook, it's Master Race Debaters.
Yeah.
And then our. So yeah, you can find us there.
Awesome. And calls to actions that I got to do, because I don't like promoting my podcast on the podcast, but people got to know certain things so that I can feel like I did my job. So that's why I'm telling you that you can subscribe, rate, and review us. Even if it's if you dislike it, if you show iTunes that you cared enough to listen, that will work out good for me anyways.
Yes.
So help a brother out. And you can email us at toddscafepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at Todd's Cafe, Twitter at _ Todd's Cafe, because I'm a loser. I didn't get the right one. And keep listening. Next week we have the fairy goth mother, Camille Porthouse, back on the show in a way. So stay tuned for that, and bye. Todd Shows.